in my own personal mythology, today is an anniversary, as far as Blanche and I can figure it. It is, we believe, the day that we met 40 years ago. And in the deeper mythology, I believe it's also the day I met Rudy 40 years ago. We're not 100% sure of the configuration, but it's within a couple of days of the date. Today is September 16th. Actually, Blanche went on the Google last night to figure out 1966. Is it 1967 September, to figure out what the actual date was. I'm not always much for anniversaries, but I'm a lot for longevity and the power of longevity and attainment, if you will, or arriving or awakening, getting what you want, what you wish for. Vladimir Nabokov said that a novel is only as good as the spark that ignites it. If the heat is strong enough, it drives you to the end. If it's a weak spark, you don't finish. It doesn't get there. And one of the things that Rudy said to me 40 years ago, possibly today, was that it's all about the wish. The intensity of the wish. And he said it was about a wish to grow, or a wish to be happy, or a wish to be fulfilled. For me, it was kind of a wish to know. I was so hungry to figure it out. And by that I mean, what is this thing that we're in? What is this extraordinary, inexplicable reality that we find ourselves in? And my search for that started, you know, most of you know the story of my drug experiences in the 1960s and the 1965 that sort of shattered the world as I knew it. And then this powerful need to reassemble it in some order that made sense. And since it seemed to me that the Bhagavad Gita and the Tibetan Book of the Dead were interesting guides for me into the world of the obscure and the unexplored, I decided to make my trip to Tibet, at least as far as I could get, which was Nepal and India, looking to grasp, what is all this? Do they know something I don't know? I didn't think it was in my own personal religion, which was Judaism. I didn't know that it wasn't necessarily in Christianity. At some point early on, I did read this book called The Perennial Philosophy by Aldous Huxley, which pointed to a fascinating confluence of beliefs, which was that all religion comes from the same mystical experience. That every religion is a formulation of understanding based on an individual's deep communion with God. And I hungered for that communion, and I hungered for a doorway to that communion. I always look at our spiritual practice starting sort of in the third eye with this idea of wanting something. Kind of intellectual perplexity, needing resolution. And then it moves down into the heart, where it becomes a wish to know something, the wish to have something. And then it goes, if you're lucky, really deep into the navel chakra, and it turns into need. It's no longer a want or a wish, it's need. And at some point in the early 60s, I needed to know these questions, and I needed to know the answers to these questions. And it was a very powerful yearning that caused me to give up everything at the time, my job, my career, my home, and just begin this journey east toward India. Actually, I wasn't heading to India at the time, I was just going to Greece. I was just going to sit on an island and read about Tibetan Buddhism and mystical tradition. But the more I sat on this island and the more wonderful the time was that I had there, something deeper in me kept speaking, and it said, you need to know these things, and reading isn't the answer. And so I sent all my books back to America, and I sort of stuck out my thumb, and I began, you know, this year and a half trek to the East. Extraordinary overland journey driven deeply by hunger to know. And I literally gave up my career, I gave up my sense of family and history. Not that I walked away from them, except that I said something else was more important. And I left the comfort of an American life, and you know, ended up in the deserts of Afghanistan and Iran and Pakistan, and looking all the way to India, and not finding it. Not finding what I was looking for, finding so much, but not finding what I was looking for. And I ended up in a record store in Japan, in Tokyo, and I was listening to two records that had become suddenly very popular in the West. One was Jefferson Airplane, and the other was the Beatles. And the Beatles record was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and it just spoke to me. It just said, something is happening, and I needed to pursue that. And it was not in Japan, and it had not been in India. It was somewhere back in the West. And the other song that really got me was Don't You Need Somebody to Love. And something in me went, that's what my whole trip is about. And that was what I was looking for. I came back to America, and I came back to New York with these Tibetan carpets that I wanted to sell for the monks that I had lived with in Nepal. And my hunger for someone to love and my hunger for understanding was stronger than ever, particularly because I hadn't found either on my travels. And I felt so despondent, like how could I have made such an effort and not found it? And I kept asking inside, in this deep, powerful way, for help. And then I took these carpets that I had gotten for these monks to the shop that was right around the corner from where I had used to live in New York, run by this guy named Rudy, and I took the carpets in there. And I had bought a Buddha in there many years ago, with, you know, a little 2-inch broken Buddha, which is a story I've often told but will not repeat now. But so I knew the shop, and I walked in there, and I don't know if Rudy remembered me or not, but he said, where did you get the carpets? And I said, I bought them in Nepal. I got them in Nepal, and I was selling them for these monks. And he said, what were you doing there? And I said, I went to find a teacher. And he said, well, you know, I can teach you everything you want to know. And it was really remarkable, because I knew it was true. And I just knew that I had found this person that I was looking for. My friends George and Cheryl, the day before, had said to me, do you want to meet a girl? I said, yes. I really, really, really wanted to meet a girl. And that night, if all mythology holds true, I went back to their apartment, and Blanche arrived. And I had really said to myself and to God, I said, bring me the woman I'm supposed to be with. And Blanche walked in the door, and I said, okay. You know, I don't know, I had a different image or dream, I suppose, of the specific woman I was looking for, but Blanche walked in the door and my heart opened. And in that one day, everything changed. My entire life changed. And again, if it wasn't one day, in that one week, everything changed, because it certainly happened all simultaneously. And what had happened is that my wish came true. That my wish found a fulfillment. And it was based on a depth of wish. The exact thing Rudy said to me when he sat me on the subway grate outside his store and gave me this exercise, the basic breathing exercise for this class. And he said, the wish is everything. And that wish had propelled me to Nepal. It had propelled me to those carpets. It propelled me into Rudy's store to sell the carpets and thereby meet my teacher. It propelled me back to America to visit my friends, who asked if I wanted to meet a girl, and I said yes. And then everything that's come from that wish is manifest here in this room as we sit here. You know, an extraordinarily remarkable life on some level. So many wishes have come true. I've wished for a family. The desire to have family for me was so powerful, because I was raised in a family that brought a lot of joy. And I wanted, one, to have a family of my own, and two, to expand that joy and to be able to bring it into the world and to share it with my family, being my parents and grandparents. It all came true. I desperately wanted a movie career or a theatrical career. I don't know why. It started when I was 5 years old. It was deep inside. And when I walked away from that to go to India, I really gave it up. I actually gave it up on any number of occasions. When I left my career at the Whitney Museum to move to the ashram in Bloomington, I gave it up for a second time. I just left it away, left it behind, and each time it came back. And as Rudy said to me, if it's real, it returns. You can't leave anything behind that's real, because it all comes back. Rudy once said to me, you know, Bruce, you'll never have your fantasy. And it was like so painful. I said, really? Really? What will I have? He said, your reality. And that actually hurt at the time. But in truth, my reality has been my fantasy and everything else. And it's the fantasy, in a sense, because it was real and meant to be real, and it was meant to be real because the universe honors our wishes. It honors our wishes in a profound way. When your wish is strong and it goes into need, when it turns into need, the universe acts accordingly. It brings you what you need. As I've said in other talks, the biggest problem for people getting what they need, or if you will, what they wish for, is that the depth of wish and need are so inconsistent or shallow or insufficient that the universe can't deliver it. It can't deliver what you only kind of want. It doesn't know how to do that. It gives you what you ask for, and if you say, I kind of sort of want this, it kind of sort of gives it to you. And what do you do with that? You blame the universe for not delivering, but in truth, the universe is not at fault. The universe is not at fault ever. The fault is really that our yearning is weak, our wish is weak, that we want part of what we're asking for, but we don't want the effort that goes with it, the responsibility that goes with it, the ownership that goes with it, the demands and the effort and the time. We want the thing, but none of the rest of the truth of it. We want, you know, the Bahamas vacation, but no mosquitoes and no jellyfish, no stingrays, none of it. We don't want this dark stuff. We just want the sweet stuff. It doesn't work that way. If you ask for something, you've got to ask for the whole thing. If you wish for something, you have to wish for the whole thing. Or you have to wish so completely when the whole thing is delivered, you say yes, rather than, oh, I'll take this part and not the rest. It won't allow that. It can't allow that. The thing that's so powerful for me when I sit down to meditate, and it's really quite remarkable, because meditation is the culmination of a primary wish, of my central core wish, which is to be in communion with truth. Whatever that truth is, I call it God, I call it what is. To be in communion with that is my great wish, and it has been my great wish from the beginning of my awareness that something extraordinary was going on here. And when I sit down to meditate, what I experience is deep, powerful, surging, conflicting complexity. I don't sit down and go, ah. I sit down and I feel emotional stuff. I feel my dream life still working for me. I feel my needs of the day. I feel my fears. I feel all of this stuff sitting down. And something in me goes, it shouldn't be this way. And then something else goes, what are you talking about? This is what it is. This is what life is. Life is this surging complexity, and it's completely playing out inside you at any given moment. So when you sit down, there's this stuff. There's all this stuff. And it's not sorted out. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. It's just there. And what that's called is life. It's life. At the core of that life is something beautiful. And it's called the wish. And that wish is to know life. That's my wish. And so when I sit there with all of this stuff coming at me, which is what happened as I sat down to teach today, all of this surging stuff, something said, this is the very thing you want. This is it. And the minute I said, ah, which I have to remind myself every time I sit, ah, this thing just opens up. It's like, it's not unbearable, it is glorious. It is rich beyond belief. It is full-bodied. It has great aroma. It has density. It has lightness. It has beauty. It has ugliness. It has power. It has weakness. It has everything, and it's right there inside us. And we sit down and we feel it. And most people feel it and go, get me out of here. This is not what I asked for. I asked for it to be like I want it. I want this little piece of life. I want that little piece. Give me those little things and I'll take that and leave the rest. Doesn't work that way. You can't take little parts of life if you want to be alive. If you want to be one with knowing, with awakening. You have to take the whole thing. That's what Rudy says. You've got to take the whole thing with all of its struggle, all of its difficulty, all of the roughage, because that's how you grow. And when you sit down, you just take the whole thing. And you realize how lucky you are to be in touch with it. Some days it's easy, some days it's not easy. Some days the beauty part is reflecting itself completely, some days the ugly part is reflecting itself completely. It has endless yin-yang duality to it. That's what it is. You can't have just yin, you can't have just yang. You have yin-yang, you have the beauty of this. Blanche gave me a symbol yesterday that was so beautiful. She was talking about the yin-yang, and she said the idea of going from yin to yang seems like such an effort. But if you go to that tiny little corner where yin and yang come together, that little place where it's just between the dark and the light, and you just go, whoop, you just switched from yin to yang. You've just gone to the other side. It's not that whole thing has to turn around. You don't have to go from dark to light. That's a huge effort. You just go, oh, and you go to the other side, or you find the balance and you live in the duality of your existence and recognize the clarity of their oneness. The value of 40 years of wishing is not that they've become conclusive, not that I in any way understand all that much more than I understood back then. In fact, as is classically said, I probably understand less, meaning I look for less understanding. Because understanding separates me from the truth. Understanding puts me in my mind looking at it, and what's happening in my spiritual life is I'm becoming one with it. I am not an observer simply, I am it itself, as are we all. I'm no different than you. The only difference is 40 years of yearning for this is delivering, is being delivered, has delivered. It's given me an extraordinary wife, an extraordinary marriage, an extraordinary 2 children, an extraordinary opportunity to sit here and talk and teach, you know, to be able to share my life with people who I love so deeply. And trust me, you are those people. It has given me the joy of evolving consciousness, which is a kind of waking up. It's just like that thing when you're 2 years old and you're waking up in the morning and you hear the birds and you feel the sunlight outside and you feel the possibility of a day. That's what it feels like. Waking up feels like you feel the possibility of your life. Just as a weak spark ignites a weak novel, a strong spark ignites a strong life. Having a really big wish, and truly, you have to know this, you can cultivate the wish. The wish to be happy, the wish to grow, the wish to be fulfilled. If it's very weak in you, just look at it, blow on it, bring attention to it, bring life energy to it, build the fire of your wish. It's not that hard to do. Just go back and just feel it. Or as my friend Bruce Denny once said to me, if you want to know why you want to grow spiritually, if you want to feel the wish, sit in McDonald's for 2 hours. That always fascinated me. Those of you who have ever sat in McDonald's for 2 hours and observed the human condition and eaten McDonald's hamburgers. You know, the taste is good for a few minutes, and then it's hard to digest, and something in you wants more. Something in you wants life to be richer. The kids yelling at the table next to you, the parents wishing they weren't there, the long lines of people, you know, waiting for this unnourishing nourishment. Something in you just finally understands, I really wish for more. I wish for more. And that comes alive. You just look at it, you stare at it, you really focus on it, you bring your attention, and you just breathe into it, and you find the hunger for life, for a full life. And if it's really coming alive in you, you will get it. It will take all these things you don't like: work, effort, disappointment, left turns that you didn't expect, right turns you didn't want to take. All of these things will all be part of your journey, because that's what the journey is. But if the wish is at the core, if it is deep and if it is unyielding, you will find what you truly, truly are looking for. So today I celebrate 40 years of looking, and I have to say, there's been a lot of finding in the process. But the thing you learn more than anything is that the mystery will never be solved. And that part of the joy of the trip is being in the presence of that which cannot be ever understood. So thank you guys for for coming today. It's an incredible thing for me to be able to express my gratitude and my appreciation to this work and to you, that you present yourself here to listen to that is very meaningful. It's a kind of witnessing something for me as I try to, in some ways as a teacher, witness for you. That sharing is exceedingly important, and it's hard to express the level of true gratitude that I do feel. But it is, in a sense, it's everything. It's what relationship is about. It's this extraordinary exchange, and the appreciation for it is at the core of the exchange. You can't take these things for granted. The effort that you make to be here speaks so loudly to me, and the effort that the universe, I feel, make to deliver to you everything that is worth your effort in return. And I get to be a participant in that, and it's the most beautiful thing that happens to me in my life. So thank you for giving me that much beauty. As you know from my email, this is the last class here for about 4 weeks, although Blanche, you're going to be back during one of those weekends, so you'll have to decide if you're not. Okay, so no class for the next 4 weeks here, and then we'll be back mid-October to keep this thing going. Thank you.